is from this Monday at 12:32 in Dallas, Texas. Of course, President Kennedy was assassinated. Some people say it was Lee Harvey Oswald alone. Others say Lee Harvey Oswald and another gunman from the grassy knoll, probably. And others say Lee Harvey Oswald had nothing to do with it. He was downstairs watching it, as proven by a couple of photographs taken. We'll get into that later. Right now we have John on the line from Tucson, who will be in Dallas on Monday. He is an assassination buff. John, have you written a book about this?
No, I've been thinking about it, though. I think it's going to be more of questions, and if the CIA and the FBI and the Dallas police can answer it, I'll accept the Oswald version. But if you can tell me how a 6.5-millimeter Mannlicher Carcano bullet can fly down out of the 6.4, you know, window of this Texas School Book Depository.
Well, what do you think about Posner's little computer graphics he's put together, Gerald Posner, in Case Closed?
Well, I think if you can, you know, argue the trajectory of that bullet and where it came from. But here's the bottom line. If it went into John F. Kennedy's neck, came out his throat, and let's say it didn't take a stop in the air and go right into his armpit, take another jag to the right and hit the armpit, take a downward turn and hit the thigh of John Connolly. If all that was a perfect lineup, let's say, and because of the laws of physics it did do that, what about all the bullet fragmentation that was found in the x-rays of John Connolly's wrist and thigh? The fragmentation itself, when compared to the bullet that was found...
I guess he went to his grave with some of that in him. I was disappointed they wouldn't allow that to be removed.
Yeah, it is disappointing. But the thing is this, how could you find this bullet in almost perfectly fireable condition except for a little flattening on the bottom of it? Where did those bullet fragments go? If they're inside his wrist, and some of them undoubtedly would have had to have been in President Kennedy's neck, I would think, how come there's no flattening? Never in the history of gunshot wounds, in this century anyway, by any forensic pathologist, has anybody been able to duplicate anything similar to what that magic bullet supposedly did without coming up with some deformity, flattening, or fragmentation of that bullet? So they're going to have to look at that.
You're pretty familiar with all of this. You said you'd seen the Zapruder film. Have you heard of a guy named Robert Hughes who took some movie film that day?
Not familiar with it, but I know here at the University of Arizona I found a film on the 19th anniversary of his assassination, which used Michael Grodin. You might have heard of him, a photographer. When he used his blow-up of rotoscoping, what you see is unbelievable. When you see the right rear section of his head blowing out, and I don't mean to be too graphic for people, but it's what happened. Right temporal, right occipital blowing out there. When you see it blow out in front of you, and maybe you've seen the flap if you've looked at other films, when you take a good look at that, there's no way that entrance wound could have come from the back. So if Oswald got off a shot, I think it probably hit the curb down there. You know, maybe he got one shot somewhere.
Well, I don't even think Oswald was up there. That's the reason I'm asking you about the Robert Hughes film.
I haven't heard of it.
Robert Hughes took a picture there, and it's documented in several books, including Mark Lane's, and even Jim Moore, who I'll have on a little later in his Conspiracy of One, who believes and is the establishment line. He does refer to this. He took some motion picture film of the presidential procession just as it turned on Houston there, or off Houston, and you could see the window where Lee Harvey Oswald was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And there were two silhouettes there.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, and then the Warren Commission said that they turned it over to the FBI and the Navy, and that they figured out that it was boxes shadows.
Yeah.
But the only thing that's troubling about that, the San Francisco Chronicle, about a week later, published a picture that showed Lee Harvey Oswald, or a man who looked like him, downstairs watching the whole thing.
I've got a picture of that. As a matter of fact, I was reading through the Warren Commission report last night, and I show that picture of him, and it has somebody else's name that alleges that happened.
Yeah, which no one was ever able to get a picture of him, ever.
Yeah, well, something you need to think about is this, is that at the shooting site of Officer J.D. Tibbett, Oswald allegedly leaves one of his jackets, a military type of fatigue jacket, I think he got in Russia or someplace, with quote-unquote identifiable and traceable laundry markings. Now, that makes no sense if you're going
well,
to...
Well, and also there were the shells were laying over there.
And
they wouldn't have to take him out of that pistol.
If you compare this to the Robert Kennedy assassination as well as the Martin Luther King assassination, they all seem real similar as far as crazed gunmen. But you know what's interesting is that they leave the murder weapon at the assassination scene where it's traceable.
They all have the same modus of operandi. And I've done several shows on the Robert Kennedy assassination, and his name escapes me at the moment. He happens to be a professor up in New Jersey now, but he happened to be head of security for Kennedy out in L.A. When that happened at the Ambassador Hotel, and he found some extra bullets, and showed them to the Los Angeles Police Department and assumed that they were in the report until about 10 years later. He had an occasion to read it on a research deal. And it was never reported. So
well, you've heard of Vincent Bugliosi, haven't you?
Sure.
Vincent Bugliosi, who did the mock trial with President Kennedy and Jerry Spence, he felt that, you know, Kennedy was assassinated by Oswald, but not so. He feels that Robert Kennedy assassination was a conspiracy. I don't know if we're ever going to find out. Like Jerry Spence said in that mock trial, as long as the door is locked, we're never going to know. But I just think some common sense comes into play here. If you,
I tried to get Jerry Spence on tonight, and I caught a call from his secretary up here in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and Jerry didn't want to stay up this late.
Yeah, well, you know, President Kennedy was buried on my 25th birthday.
I
was the 25th, and I was 9 when he was buried. And it's interesting, I don't know why, I kept seeing that book 4 days as I grew up around the house, and occasionally just things started unfolding, and now it seems like there's some kind of a strange spirit with me. Wherever we go, Kennedy stuff comes on, or we happen to find Kennedy articles or magazines, just like your program just happened to put some batteries in this little shortwave radio, and there you were talking about this, and I couldn't believe it. But I thought, you know, people are hurting, and they want to heal, and we may never know totally what happened and whether Oswald was involved or a lone gunman or who he was, but I'm of the opinion with some of the things that Hoover knew and the FBI, supposedly President Kennedy was warned not to go to Dallas. I just wonder if somebody...
Well, evidently there was a cable.
Yeah, and apparently I wonder if they thought if Oswald was nutty enough to get that job, interestingly enough, 5 weeks before the assassination, if he got that job... if somebody just thought, well, we got a nut up here, let's go ahead and use them, and we'll set it up down here and maybe not even know about it. But here's another thing to think about. I know you're rushed for time here, but if you notice the motorcade route comes down Main Street heading towards the Triple Underpass, within about a half a block, the president would have been safe if he'd gone under that underpass. But they, at the last minute, right a block before the underpass, the motorcade takes a hard right onto Houston and then a hairpin turn down on Elm Street. Why pull that motorcade so close to that building when they could have just taken it right out in the middle of Dealey Plaza?
Who made that decision, John?
I don't know who made that decision. But
well, I think it was somebody in the Dallas Police Department.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
And I think the Dallas Police Department had a lot more in it maybe than we tend to believe.
Yeah, if you see the movie, the video called Rush to Judgment, or read the book, when you listen...
Yeah, I have it right in front of me right now.
Okay, you listen to the actual accounts of the people that were there.
Well, we're going to do that, John. Stay tuned. Dorothy is on the line from Kansas City. After we take this commercial break, we're going to go to her, and she was there that day. Thanks, John, and good luck in Dallas. 1-800-745-8255. That's our number, 1-800-745-TALK.